Welcome to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Martellaro, and this week my guest is the fabulous Kelly Gumont with, as it happens, the Mac Observer. Kelly, good afternoon.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being on the show. Going to be fantastic. I have virtually no script for this because I figured that we wouldn't even need a script because you and I rock and roll on Jeff Gamet's Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast.
We do.
And we've had a lot of fun on Wednesday mornings. Although I must admit, I do not have the bell handy. I did not even bring the bell over to the desk because...
Oh, that's okay.
I don't think we're going to need it.
You can still be wrong without the bell.
I can. So you're a relatively recent acquisition of the Mac Observer.
In the grand scheme of things, yes, compared to how long all you guys have been there.
Yeah, starting... I'm starting my 10th year in a few weeks. Yeah. But I never really heard the full story about how you came to join the Mac Observer. Tell me all.
So, many moons ago, or I guess as would be topically appropriate, long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was writing for the unofficial Apple weblog over at, which was independent and then was owned by AOL. And now all of that stuff has been absorbed into the Engadget archives. So Tua is still sort of around. If you look for it, you will just find all of our content on what looks like Engadget pages because it's all AOL tech. So anyway, I was writing there and I knew Jeff from Macworld and podcasts and all kinds of things. Because Jeff, you know, he's a general nerd about town. So... Mm-hmm. So I knew him, and then I was not working at a time a couple of years ago. It was the last Macworld. Look at me interrupting myself to do math. So it was the very last Macworld, and Jeff sent me a note and said, "Hey, I am going to be at Macworld all week, and I need somebody to handle news patrol because we don't have anyone who will be in the office. Would you like to do that?" And I said, "That sounds great. Let me run it by my editor over at Tua just to make sure there's no conflict." He said, "That's totally fine. Hi, Victor." And then I did the morning news patrol during Macworld, covering press releases and different things. And then after Macworld, I just sort of kept hanging out at Mac Observer. And so... that's basically what happened was because we all sort of knew that anything we were doing over at Tua was arranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Really?
And so...
So you saw that coming, right?
Oh, yeah, we knew. We knew for a long time. The whole thing with Tua was sort of that I just kept sort of waiting. Once the whole Huffington Post thing happened over at AOL, I kept waiting for somebody to sort of clean out an office and like pull out a desk and find out that Tua had fallen behind it and we would be like busted because all of a sudden everybody would know about us and try to figure out what to do with us. And then, and then we'd end up shut down or, you know, either they'd spin us off into our own or we would all be absorbed into Engadget. And what happened was they actually just put the skids to the whole thing and then absorbed that stuff into Engadget. So
as I recall, the first thing that they stopped was the podcast, which is what was making you money, right?
Yes. And that was where I built that community. I did that show. I was the primary host on that show for years. And I was one of the people who was a regular contributor before I was the regular host for years before that. So we built that community and it was a great community. And we all like hung out together on Sunday nights and, you know, news would happen during the week and I would file it away and be like thinking about how I was going to bring that up on the talkcast. That's what we called it, the Tua talkcast. And I got amazing guests, and it's one of those things about the Apple community that I have been exposed to is I don't ever think I had a guest who said no. I had people who said, "I can't this week," but I never had anyone flat out refuse me. And I asked everybody. I asked Andy Anatko on the show. Mm. I asked Ken Case from Omni Group.
That's
on
good
the
news
show.
Because I've invited Ken, and he's going to be on the show.
Ken is a lovely guest as yes. well. He's so much fun to talk to. I had Jim Dalrymple on more than once.
Jim, oh, yeah. He's on my list too.
He's a fun guest. I had Jeff gamut on the show a number of times. Anyone that I sort of asked, you know, hey, could you come hang out with us for an hour Sunday night? They totally did. And we had a great time just sort of talking. And it would sort of, you know, sometimes it took a left turn and sometimes it didn't. And sometimes we had a lot to say about whatever was happening, you know, on the Mac side. Sometimes we were talking about like a personal thing that happened. Like I vividly remember being on the show, and we had a live chat window as part of the program. So if you were listening to the recording afterward, you were missing out on like the whole parallel conversation that was happening.
How did you do that? Because, you know, we developed a certain kind of technology at the Mac Observer with Audio Hijack Pro, but you must have been using completely different software.
Yeah, we were using something called TalkShoe. Yeah. And the nice thing about it was that anyone that wanted to listen live, we could, if you were dialed in like on a phone, we could unmute you and it would be like having a live radio call-in show. That was super fun. Sometimes though, TalkShoe would just stop letting people in or it would kick people off the call. And that was kind of a bummer. But the rest of the time it was great. And I remember being on one time and the chat room all of a sudden was like, what happened? Obama is on TV. And I remember muting my microphone really quick, turning on the TV in the office and turning off the sound and seeing the crawl at the bottom that he was announcing that Osama bin Laden had been got. Mm. And it was just, and then so of course we unmuted and we were like, we just heard this and talked about it for a minute. And that was one of the things I really liked about the TalkCast is that it always started in tech, but like there was never anything that was off limits. Like we asked Jim about his guitars. We asked Ken Case about what it was like to develop for Next. Cause he's been a developer for many, many years. And so it was really fun to get his perspective on the whole thing. Right after Steve Jobs passed away, I have a friend who his first job was working at Apple under Steve the first time. And, just before the Macintosh and as the Macintosh was coming out. And we had him on and he talked about what it was like and how having that job at Apple as his first job out of college basically spoiled him for anything else. And he told us some really great stories about that. And I was really sad when that community, when AOL killed it. And it was almost worse because we did that show. And then we also had two other shows. They were both live video broadcasts. And one of them was Ask Tua, which was a show that I did with my friend Doc Rock. And then there was another show called Tua TV Live, which was hosted by Steve Sandy. And I was on it regularly. Oh, yeah. And then when Steve was on vacation, I was one of the people who would host the show when he wasn't there. So
Steve's a good friend. He's going to be on the show later.
He's phenomenal. I love Steve.
Folks, you can tell Kelly is a podcasting professional. You can tell from the sound of her voice. You can tell from the equipment that she's using, the microphone, everything. You know, these other guests I have to send them a little short file about how to get ready. Well, how do I do this? How do I do that? You know, I need to get a microphone. What kind of microphone do you have? Well, I've got this thing on my headset. No, that's not going to do. So I got people scrambling, you know, trying to get a good USB microphone, and then they pick some dorky little mic, you know, and then they're too far away from it. But Kelly, as you can tell, right out of the box, here she is in glorious audio.
Now, the thing I will point out about that is that you don't need glorious audio to start a podcast. I want to encourage anybody who has a passion and wants to talk about it to start one because it's fun. If this is your thing, it's a super fun thing. I had a radio show in college. And I adored being
on the radio. Really? I never would have guessed.
I adored being on the radio. And part of it was because I had somehow been exposed to a very wide variety of music compared to a lot of people that I knew, particularly as like a 17, 18-year-old kid. And so I really enjoyed the sharing aspect of getting to put that on the radio and share it with people. And I liked when people called into the radio station and had requests. You know, what was that song you played last week that kind of went, you know, like I actually enjoyed talking to those people and helping them figure it out. I had so much fun on the radio. So when podcasting became a thing, I was really excited about that because I really enjoy getting the opportunity to interact with people. And I love it. And I'm one of those nerds that like really likes to talk to people. So
it brings the community together.
Well,
it introduces people to each other and creates a certain sort of fireside chat warmth of, you know, here's the circle, here's the people, you know, it gets the listeners a chance to get to know the person better. It creates more connections in the community, and it's fun. Yeah.
Love it. And, you know, and as a girl who is a nerd who likes to talk to people, like, I'm practically a unicorn when it comes to tech. So it is so much fun, and I really enjoy doing it. And I started out, and I'm not embarrassed about this because I had to start somewhere. When I started regularly doing the TalkCast, I needed a nicer microphone than, you know, Apple iPhone pack-in headphones. So I picked up a Logitech USB headset for $40. And I will tell you, I got tons of compliments on that sound, on the quality of the sound out of that. I'm currently using an XLR mic into a USB interface that plugs into my computer. Because I have upgraded, because I do enough podcasts, it's worth it to me to have, you know, I also have a high definition camera for when I do video shows over like at British Tech Network and things. But you don't need that. And the reason you don't need that is because production value is not why people are listening to your podcast. For example, if I'm talking to you and I'm very interesting and I'm somebody that you want to hear more from, and maybe today my microphone didn't work or was struck by lightning or something, and I had to be on my iPhone pack-in headphones, it would still be interesting to hear what I have to say. Now, if I'm not an interesting person and I'm talking about something that doesn't interest you, you're not going to stick around just because the sound quality is amazing. That's not how it works.
That's great advice.
So jump in and just know that your shows will only get better the more you do them. And as you spend time on, you know, a $40 headset, and then maybe you upgrade to a nicer USB microphone for $50. I think for $50. There's an Audio Technica that is both USB and XLR, which is something I have on my Christmas list, actually, because then I could take it with me if it's straight USB. I don't have to worry about having the additional device. But for $50, you can get a handheld microphone that will have great sound quality that I know a number of people who have it. It's the, I think it's the AT2020 USB. It's a USB microphone. And it's a nice little handheld microphone. You just poke it in the side of your computer and open up Skype and off you go. And that's plenty of audio gear for a lot of people. And then if you decide later, maybe you need a mixing board or maybe you just need a piece of software. Like John is using software to put the music in at the beginning of the show. That's just a piece of just an app he has on his computer that allows him to do that. So there's so much you can do without having to have a bunch of extra equipment or a bunch of expensive equipment. Just jump in and do it. And then tell me about your podcast, because if it's something that I'm interested in, I'm totally going to listen to you. And I don't care if you're using a $40 headset or a $400 microphone. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm interested, I don't really care as much about the audio quality, as long as I can hear you.
You know,
I
can attest to the learning curve. This is show number 8. And
I'm still
very early on the learning curve in terms of technology and show production and getting my act together and making sure everything goes right and having scripts. You know, this is the first show that I have done without really a formal agenda, because I just knew it was going to be so much fun to talk to you. And you and I have talked before on Jeff's TMO Daily Observations podcast. We go 21 minutes and we have a lot of fun. And so
and
I
what
figured,
nobody
you know,
knows we is just... those are 45-minute phone calls.
Yeah, if only Jeff had recorded some of the pre-show banter. Yeah. Well, same thing happened today. You know, you and I were chatting just in the pre-show about stuff, and I was going, hey, I feel just like Jeff. Got to hit the record button. You know, let's get this stuff down on the audio.
Yeah.
So, it is a fun process, but it's definitely learning. And I'm not nearly as uptight as I was in the first two shows. And I figure by the time I've done 30 or 40 of them, I will be an old hand at this.
Well,
so thank you for being on the show and helping me relax.
Of course. Every time you do a show, you learn another little thing, whether it's, I need to, like, I ask everyone the same, you know, four questions and I need to phrase this one better to get the kind of answer I want from people, or whether it's if you check that box instead of this box in name of app, then a different thing happens, which is the thing I actually want, and it saves me a step later. Like, every time you do a show, you will learn something new. And I love it. And I want to encourage everybody, because like, all I did was go, hey, that sounds like fun. I'll totally do that. And like, I've had people email me. I've had people, people talk to me on Twitter. People talk to me on Facebook and stuff. And they're so excited to get to talk to me, because like, I spend a lot of time talking to them in a way. And it always makes me happy when people tell me about how what I'm doing is impacting them. Like, hey, I heard you on this podcast and you said da 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 da, and I never knew that about my phone, and now I can do this whole other thing, you know, whatever it is. And all of that stuff to me is amazing.
Just some things that are better done with audio or video.
Absolutely.
You know, not everybody's into, you know, going through a 1,000-word article, step by step, glorious step by step, you know, following each one of these directions and getting lost along the way because of poor wording or something like that. You know, but when you get somebody on the air and talking about something, or a video tutorial, people get all lit up. It's exciting.
Well, and the other thing about it to me is, I don't know what everybody else doesn't know. So I will casually mention something like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then people are like, huh? Wait, no. I know what the big thing is you're trying to say. Like, that's not news. Tell me this tiny little detail of the thing that you were just talking to me about. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, if you go like this and then like that, like, you know, stuff happens. And then they go, oh, I had no idea.
Right. And
what? Really? Wow.
What? Really? Really? How? You've done that before on TDO. It gives me a chuckle every time you do that.
And it's to me, that's a great thing. Like, I have that moment with other people all the time. And so when people let me know, like, this thing that you showed off on Mac Observer, this you mentioned this little, like, the one that I think of is, I've been on Mac Break Weekly a couple of times. And one time my pick for the week was this little container called a GoTube. And it's this little round tub, and the top squeezes onto it. It's from a company called Human Gear. And you sort of squeeze the bottom. It's like a little cylinder. It's sort of the shape of like a tuna can. And the top comes over it completely and snaps closed, and it's super secure. And if you squeeze it near the bottom, squeeze the sides of the container, and it doesn't matter what sides, it pops open. So I keep all kinds of little tiny stuff in there, like my iPhone ejection tool, and I have a battery, and I have like an SD card, and, you know, other, you know, a couple of paper clips in case, and, you know, little tiny things like that are all very, very small. They all live in this little tub on my desk, and I found it at an outdoor gear store, because Mr. Kelly and I like to hike. And I found it at this outdoor store, and I went, oh, I need that for all those little things on my desk. Mm-hmm. And then I held it up on Mac Break Weekly and I said, I have this because I have all these little things on my desk and I don't want to lose them, you know, in the back of a drawer. So I bought this thing and they all live in here now. And here's what's in it now. And like, I got so many replies from people on that. Like, I just bought a set of those. They're the best thing that ever happened to my desk. You know, I'm so organized with screws or whatever, you know, and I love being able to show that kind of stuff off to people, because I know a lot of those folks probably wouldn't, you know, don't normally hang out at like REI, for example, or Deacon Brian's Next Adventure, which is actually the place where I picked it up here in Portland. You know, a lot of people who maybe are super technical people don't always spend time in places like that. So it was interesting to me, sort of the crossover there. They're like, I never heard of these things. These are amazing. So it was a lot of fun to find out how many people, because I got tons of replies from people. Like, I just bought some of these and they're the greatest.
Cool. Kelly, we're going to have to take a short break. All you listeners out there, I want you to know that Kelly, because of her fabulous disc jockey voice, has recorded a commercial for me, and it's been pre-recorded, and I'm going to play it now. So we're going to take us 53 seconds for this commercial break, and we will be right back. Take it away, Kelly.
Hello there, all you fabulous background mode listeners. I'm Kelly Gamont with the Mac Observer, and I just want to say a few words about how you can support all the things we do. If you're thinking about buying something from Apple, Amazon, or Mac Mall, just go to the Mac Observer's homepage where we have a section called Support TMO. Or you can just enter macobserver.com/Apple Store, all one word, and that will take you to our special page for Apple and our other affiliates. If you make a purchase from one of our partners this way, the Mac Observer receives a small compensation for sending business their direction. Pretty cool, right? And you don't pay a penny more. This small fee from our affiliates helps us continue to bring you TMO's daily news, reviews, tips, how-tos, and podcasts like this one. So the next time you're thinking about an online purchase, come to TMO's homepage and support the Mac Observer. Thanks. Back to you, John.
We're back. And thank you, Kelly. That's awesome.
It's very weird to be interrupted by myself.
Yes, it is. It's just a reflection of your multi-talented abilities. So speaking of multi-talent, I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. Everybody knows that you're a fabulous computer nerd, but how did that all happen? I mean, at what age? Because, you know, we know that sometimes young women get diverted from technical areas, and we're always writing articles about, you know, how is it that young women get diverted from math and science and technology? And you have had an awesome experience in life and development as a true nerd. How did that happen?
Well, I can tell you where it started. It's a very vivid moment for me. I was in grade school. I don't quite remember exactly the year, but my mom was a grade school teacher. And so I spent a lot of time at school when I wasn't in school. So I used to help my mom with putting up bulletin boards in her classroom and, you know, rearranging desks. And like at the end of the year, I would help her box up stuff. And then at the start of the new year, I would go in with her and help her unload things and, you know, get the room ready and all different kinds of things like that. So I did a lot of stuff at school with my mom. And then she was a single parent for a while. And I was too young to go hang out at home by myself, like, you know, for second, third grader. So what I would do is just hang out sort of in my mom's room, and I had loads of books to read, and the library was just at the end of the hallway. So I could check out books. Like, I read probably everything in that library, and I'm not understating that. I devoured books constantly. And the third grade teacher who had the room next door to my mom, who taught second grade, bought an Apple IIe with her own money and brought it in and set it up in her classroom. And she enlisted me to help her set it up because I was a small person and I could fit under the desk. And so I was enlisted to crawl behind the desk and plug everything in and then plug the monitor into the giant keyboard of the Apple II and all of that stuff. So she asked if I could help her out. So I did. And then she said, I bought a couple of things for it. Do you want to try them out and see what you think? Well, of course. That sounds fun. I've never seen one of these before. It might be fun. And my third grade teacher was convinced that computing was going to be the future and it was going to be an important thing for kids to know about. And particularly if you start at a young enough age, they're not going to look at it with like distrust and fear. They're going to just be like, hey, it's a new thing. Like, I learn new stuff at school all the time because I'm still kind of new. So, you know, I learn things all the time. I guess a computer is a new thing I will learn, like multiplication and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I sat down in front of this computer and I put a 5.25-inch disk into the drive after I touched the metal on the side of the seat to make sure I didn't static the disk into oblivion. And it was the one of the MECC discs, the Minnesota Education Consortium or whatever they were called. And it was Oregon Trail. And I sat down in front of it and basically have not gotten up since 1984. It was the greatest thing. And then she convinced the library to get a couple of computers. So I spent time in the library and there was one that was on a cart that wheeled around everywhere. And so they bought a word search program that would generate the word search for you. and another one that would let that would create a printout that you could then run off on the Ditto machine, because that doesn't date me at all, of vocabulary words. So you
were the boys jealous of all your activities?
Not really, because they didn't really see any of this. It was all like after school and stuff that I was doing a lot of this. So most people didn't even notice.
So you got an unfettered start.
Yeah. Nobody cared. I was being quiet and I wasn't causing any trouble. And so, you know, everybody was just content to let me sit in front of the screen quietly, you know, and so nobody, it wasn't discouraged. It wasn't encouraged, you know. It was sort of like, if you're, you know, if you're good, I'll let you go next door and use Mrs. Sharp's computer. And, you know, like my mom would have me do stuff just so that she could be doing other things. Like instead of me putting up the bulletin board, I would create the word search for her using the word search program. And I created all the clues for all the vocabulary words and put all the vocabulary words in for the week. And then she would take it down and run it off on the Ditto machine.
Oh, that's amazing. And then
bring them back, and then she would have worksheets for her class for the week. And eventually the library got Macintoshes, but I don't remember which one. And then they got the ones that had the CD-ROM drive, and there was like a Bloom County interactive CD-ROM that I spent so much time with.
I think I remember that.
It was amazing. You could click on Opus and he would do stuff, and it was just, oh my
God. Oh, those were the days. The game CDs, the interactive CDs on the Apple II and the Macintoshes. Oh, that was just incredible. You felt like you were living in a different time.
I did. And I mean, you really did feel at that moment like, this is the future and I'm in it and this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't even hook a computer up to another computer at that point.
That's how I felt. My first experience.
Just by itself.
My first experience was going to work for NASA for the summer and doing work inside the space shuttle mission simulator, sitting with the astronauts and watching them land. And so I came back to New Mexico and wrote a space shuttle landing simulator on the Apple II.
Oh.
Sold 1,000 copies of that. I thought that was pretty good for those days.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, it was, because there probably weren't much more than 1,000 computers in the world that could run it.
Well, there were more than that, but you know, for somebody to just start
a little
you know, garage business and sell 1,000 copies of anything on Apple II, financed my graduate school.
No internet. Great. No internet publicity. No Facebook ads for that.
No, just I ran ads in Soft Talk magazine.
Yeah. Oh.
And
I had
money.
Enter magazine. Oh, Enter Magazine. It was...
You remember Call Apple and Apple Insider?
Oh, Apple Insider. I remember it well.
Yeah.
Enter Magazine was like a computing magazine for kids. And it was the same people that did
321
Contact.
Remember. Oh, yes, I do.
And so, and I got 321 Contact. I was a nerdy little kid. Like, before you ever got to computers, I was a nerdy nerd.
Did you learn Smalltalk?
Oh, I did.
Oh.
And they sent me this sample issue of Enter Magazine, like, we do this too, and you should check it out. And because I had a subscription to 321 Contact. And again, dating myself.
Well, me too, of course.
And my mom read Enter. My mom looked at Enter and I begged her, please, 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 please. Like, how many chores can I do so that I can have this subscription too? And, you know, like anything that I could do. And so eventually I did get a subscription. And they had basic programs in the back of it. And I started entering basic programs into the computers.
Like Eliza. This first one I ever typed in by hand was Eliza.
Oh, yeah. And I had, and there were some games. And so then I started, and they were in basic. And so you had to learn a little bit about like logic loops and things, because if you had a typo, you had to be able to go back and fix it. So that's another reason that I type at a ridiculous speed, is because I spent a lot of time typing, because I was putting in these thousands of lines of code in basic out of the back of a magazine. And
wow.
I found every once in a while I would go, I don't like, you know, like it would be a text-based adventure like Zork or something, and, you know, similar. And I would go, oh, I don't like that ending. So I would change it. And then I would change a little bit more, and I'd change a little bit there, and I would change a little bit over here. And then it would be my thing. And then, and Lord lover, my mom, I would sit her down in front of these and tell her things like, can you do this? Or, you know, play my game, you know, and of course she has no idea what's happening and, you know, doesn't really sit in front of this computer very much. But she was like, oh, well, that was nice. I had a lot of fun. You know, she would tell me whatever it was I needed to hear in order to, you know, not break my little 10-year-old heart or whatever. So she would sit down in front of it and she would do her best. Oh, I died. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, oh, I ended up in the wall collapsing room and the walls collapsed on me and now I'm squished, you know, whatever it was. But she would, to me as a kid, she sounded genuinely sad. Oh, that happened and now I'm dead. Oh no. You know, and like she sounded bummed about it. I'm like, you could play again. She's like, I'm busy, Kelly. I have other things I have to do. But she always had time to sit down with me and do that. And my dad, when he got a computer, it wasn't an Apple and it wasn't a Mac, but he ran a pizza parlor, and at one point he got a computer to do the finances and stuff, and when he like payroll and those kind of things, and he would let me sit down in front of that and goof around with it, whatever kind of stuff I wanted to do. I wasn't allowed to take it apart, but I was allowed to play with it, you know, however I wanted. And I feel like that was a big difference. But like I said, I was a nerd and I grew up in the wilderness. So I went to a very, very small school. My graduating class was 68 people, and I was a big graduating class for where I grew up. And it was two towns combined at the junior high and high school. So it took two different tiny little places in Oregon to come up with 68 kids to graduate. And so I was really used to being the only one, whatever it was. I was the only one who was left-handed. I was the only girl that played t-ball. I was the only girl that played soccer. I was the only girl in computer class. And so, like, I was always the only one. I was always kind of the weirdo. And so it never really bothered me, you know. And people would say, like, I found out years later that people sort of hassled my mom about, like, why she let her daughter play baseball, you know. I mean, it was t-ball. Come on. We were very young, you know, and it wasn't a big deal. So I never really encountered any of that. And then whenever people tried, I just sort of blew them off because it's like, to me, it wasn't an issue.
When you're having so much fun, when you're having a lot of fun, you don't really care about other things. And so you're just immersed in it.
Yeah. But also, but I also had sort of the bonus of people kind of going, well, that's just Kelly.
Well, we say that all the time here at the Mac Observer.
This is true. I wish we could repeat what we say about you. So people just sort of like took it as, you know, well, here's the odd thing that Kelly's up to now. And so, you know, my classmates always sort of treated me like an oddity. You know, I did have Coke bottle glasses when I was a kid. I have very curly hair and it was short for a long time. So I basically rocked a little freckly white girl afro for a lot of grade school at various lengths.
See it now. Is everybody visualizing that?
At various lengths, it did get bigger and smaller. It is not necessarily the best look when you live in an area that where the only real sustainable plant life is tumbleweeds. You get a lot of comparisons. So just a tip for people looking to move to the high desert, if you do that, Afro's not the best look there. So I was always sort of, you know, the weirdo and made fun of and whatever, so I didn't care. Like, if somebody said, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, I'd be like, why not, you know? And then nobody ever had a good reason, just that I shouldn't. And nobody ever tried to tell me it was because I was a girl until I was in high school and became a police cadet. And I was told I wouldn't be interested in that because I'm a girl. And I said, oh, well, I'm interested now. So I was a police cadet for my last 2 years of high school where I grew up, and had fun with it. It was really interesting. It gives me a little bit of trivia at parties because I was a Boy Scout for 2 years, because all police cadets are Boy Scout Explorer posts. So I had to fill out all the paperwork to become a Boy Scout. So.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
Guess what? We are out of time.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It goes
it
like that.
It went so fast.
I know. And there were so many things I wanted to talk to you about that we did not get to. But you know what? I think I'll have you back on the show sometime in the future.
That
and we'll finish
great.
Up with stuff like home automation and all that jazz. How's that sound?
Oh, home automation.
Okay.
Well, I have so much to say about home automation. It's a good thing we didn't start there because
yes,
it would have to be like a multi-part show.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Of course.
Appreciate
it was my pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And this concludes our episode of Background Mode from the Mac Observer. We'll see you next time.